Welcome home. Hey, turn to somebody real quick and say good morning to them. Say hello. Tell them you're glad to see them.
Then turn to somebody else and say, you look awesome today. Go ahead. Say it out loud. You look awesome today. If you just lied, remember you're in church.
It happens, right? Well, we're so glad you're here today. My name is Bobby McGraw. I get to serve with Pastor Chuck, and we love this place. And if you're new this week, or if you missed last week, we kicked off a new teaching series. A handful of times a year, we take a book of the Bible and we just drill down and say, what's the message God has for us as a church? And so over the next couple of weeks, we're in the book of Exodus. And if you're not familiar with Exodus, there's sort of three big parts to it. Ultimately, they're on their way to a place called the Promised Land that God said, I've got a place of freedom for you. I've got a place of surrender for you. Last week, we started by looking at Moses and how God comes to the most unlikely of us and says, I've got a big plan for your life, and he's waiting for us just to get started. So there's the start, there's surrender, and in the middle, there's a struggle. What we find throughout Scripture is that freedom's never free. It never just happens automatically. It's not some magic pill that we can just take and suddenly life is great. There's a lot of struggle. And so what we want to do, especially this week and over the next couple weeks, is find out how does God use that fight in our life to find freedom. So let me read Scripture today, and we're going to dive right in. And it's in Exodus chapter 6, verse 2. God said to Moses, I am Yahweh the Lord. So here's what's happened. Moses has said yes. He's gone to Pharaoh. Pharaoh pushes back on him. So Moses comes back to God and says, God, why is this happening? Have you ever been there where you thought something was going to be easier than it was? You're like excited. I'm going to get started. I'm going to do that thing. And then it doesn't go well. This is where Moses is. It's not going well. And God says, I am Yahweh the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob as El Shaddai. And this is interesting. This is a name of God that literally means God Almighty. But then he goes on to Moses and says, but I did not reveal my name Yahweh to them, which is another way of thinking about God. Verse 4, and I reaffirmed my covenant to them under its terms. I promised to give them the land of Cana, where they were living as foreigners. Verse 5, you can be sure that I've heard the groans of the people of Israel, which is good news. Like God hears their groans. God knows they're there. He hasn't forgotten them. He says this. He says, you can be sure I've heard the groans who are now slaves to the Egyptians, and I am well aware of my covenant with them. Therefore, say to the people, I am the Lord. I will free you from your oppression. I will rescue you from your slavery. I will redeem you with a powerful arm, with great acts of judgment. I will claim you as my own people. I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord, your God, who has freed you from oppression in Egypt. I'll bring you into the land that I swore to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I will give it to you as your very own possession. I am the Lord. So Moses told the people of Israel what the Lord had said, but they, listen to this phrase, but they refused to listen. Here's a challenge for us today. Don't be hard-hearted. Let's listen today. And he says, they had become too discouraged by the brutality of their slavery. Then the Lord said to Moses, go back to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and tell him to let the people of Israel leave this country as we know it better. Let my people go.
That's right. So if you missed last week's teaching that Bobby did, I want to encourage you to go back and listen to it. There's a great word. One of the reasons it makes so much sense is it happens in Exodus 3. So this is when God says to Moses, here's what I'm asking you to go do. And Moses is like, whoa, dude, not me.
Yeah.
No, you got to use somebody that's better equipped than I am. And God makes a big point of saying, whoa, this is holy ground. I've got this, and it's not on you. It's my power. I'll go with you. I'll go before you. I'll make this happen. So then we get to today, three chapters later, and Moses is kind of throwing it back in God's face. Now, I want to get started with this thought that oftentimes people in Christianity, and preachers do this a lot, they make you think that if you question your faith or question God, then you are in the wrong. But I would argue that you don't really have a solid faith until you've questioned it.
Yeah.
Until you have this reasoning ability to say, wait a minute, God, I don't understand that. Why do you let that kind of stuff happen? So what happens is at the end of chapter 5, before Bobby picked up in chapter 6, Moses has spoken to Pharaoh, He's spoken to his people. Both of them have kicked against it. Now think about this. Moses goes to Pharaoh, let my people go. He goes to the people of Israel and says, hey, we're getting ready. We're getting out of here.
Yeah.
But they don't like the way God's going to do it through Moses. So they rebel and Pharaoh gets hard-hearted, right? So at the end of this chapter, here's what it says. Then Moses went back to the Lord and protested. Now, I know when we hear that, it's like, Moses, you jerk, right? But here's the thing. We do it all the time. Like, God, why'd you let that happen? Like, God, why this happened to me? Like, God, why do you let starvation happen? Or God, why'd you let kids get shot at school? God, why? On and on and on, right? Like, the number one reason that I hear people questioning God is, well, then if God is so good, why does he let stuff happen? We're about to find out. All right, so then it goes on. He says, why have you brought all this trouble on your own people? So all of a sudden, Moses has changed from it's my people to God, it's your problem.
Yeah.
Like, we have two dogs at home, and one of them does something goofy. You know what I say to Jenny? Your dog just messed up.
That's right.
Right? And this is what's going on. It's like, hey, God, your people aren't doing what you said they would do.
But you post more pictures of your dog on social media than Jenny does, so.
Well, I post on social media more than Jenny does.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's your dog.
She's more private than I am.
Okay.
Yeah. She's also smarter than I am, so that's, you know. So he says, why did you even send me? Ever since I came to Pharaoh as your spokesman, he has been even more brutal to your people, and you've done nothing to rescue them. So in the book, Letters to a Young Poet, there's this powerful quote that says, be patient toward all that is unsolved in your heart and try to love the questions themselves like locked rooms and like books that are written in a foreign tongue. Do not now seek the answers which cannot be given to you because you would not be able to live with them. And the point is to live everything, live the questions. Hear that? Live the questions. Listen, God's bigger than whatever question you've got. God can handle whatever question. He's not limited by you saying, God, what the heck, right? I mean, he's not limited to all that. So when you see and read what Bobby read in verse 7, God has the answer. Now, if it would be me and you, and I'd walk to your office and said, hey, Bobby, what went wrong with that deal? How did I mess that up? I mean, as honorable and as godly as you are, what you might say is, well, you know, Chuck, if you had not said that joke and if you'd said it more directly and if you'd have been more kind, and, you know, like we normally do. And Bobby, being human, would have given me a human answer, right? I mean, he's human. But what might happen if when you're struggling with whatever's going on in your life, and let me just stop and say, preachers who are out there screaming at you, telling you that when you come to faith in Christ, all your problems are gone, that guy's lying to you. That we are not immune from struggles and difficulties. That's garbage, right? Because in the struggle and in the pain is where we prove who God is. None of us are immune to it because if we didn't have these seasons in our life, we may never turn to faith.
Yeah.
The people in Israel, that's why they've grown hard-hearted.
Yeah.
They just walked away.
I think there's a tension in all of us. A lot of us don't like ambiguity. I was talking to somebody after the first gathering, and a lot of us aren't wired to live in that in-between space. We want an answer right now.
Yeah.
But the truth is, a lot of us have more questions than there are answers.
Yep.
We've got more ambiguity. We've got questions. We've got uncertainty. And so let me just give you one other example in Scripture of this. There's tons of it in there. But in Psalm chapter 73, listen to this honest psalm. This is somebody that's dealing with questions. Psalm 73, verse 3. For I envied the proud. So they're looking at all the other people around them. For I envied the proud when I saw them prosper despite their wickedness. Look at this phrase. These fat cats have everything their hearts could ever wish for. Isn't that a fun phrase? Verse 8, they scoff and they speak only evil. In their pride, they seek to crush others. They boast against the very heavens, and their words strut throughout the earth. In other words, they've got their chest puffed out. They act like the world revolves around them. Verse 12, Look at these wicked people. They're enjoying a life of ease while their riches multiply. Did I keep my heart pure for nothing? Do you sense that deep question in the person that's writing this? Man, I've been doing all the right stuff. I've been trying to live for God. I've been doing the right thing. And yet it seems like all the evil people, wicked people, they're getting ahead while I am not. And so if you have ever felt that tension, if you've ever felt like you've got more questions than answers, congratulations, you're normal.
Yeah. Right.
Normal. And God's not afraid of our questions. And so to live with those questions, to sit with them, is super powerful.
So when Moses comes and protests with God, God's explanation, his reasoning, is exactly what he does with us. When we protest, God, why'd you let that happen? God, why do I have to go through this? Why? Well, we have two of our grandsons been here all weekend. And so Grover, he talks nonstop, right? And so he'll go over to my chair and he'll say, Pop, Mir, which means come here. And he'll pat on the chair and sit, Pop, sit. And it's like, buddy, I got stuff to do. Why?
Yeah.
Right? You been there? I mean, after a while, it's like, cause I said so.
Yeah.
Right? That doesn't work either. But I think it's okay for us to ask the why. Mm. But here, listen to God's response in verse 7. I will claim you as my own people. Mm. I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God who has freed you from your oppression in Egypt. Now watch this. You say, well, Chuck, I'm not under oppression. I would argue all of us are, whether it's performance or productivity or a 401k or a bigger boat or a better house, or it could be we're trapped in just an addiction or some sinful lifestyle. I mean, you know, we're all there. I don't know anybody that doesn't deal with this junk, starting with me.
Yeah.
I mean, we all do. And instead of coming back saying, okay, you need to post more on social media, you need to go to a workshop, God says, remember, I am the Lord. He says, I will bring you into the land that I swore to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He says, I will give it to you like it's your very own possession because I am the Lord. Mm. Now watch this. The Lord goes on and on. He says, I am with you. I am for you. I'm always there. God spoke to Moses, reminding him of the promise he'd made. Now, this is an important thing to recognize in Scripture. Two things are happening here. One, God is reminding us that he always delivers on his promise.
Yeah.
But what's critical is to know he doesn't always deliver on his promise when you want him to. Mm. He always delivers on his promise when he redeems you from the day. So you ever had those seasons in your life you feel like, okay, your whole world's falling apart, and it's like, what in the world? I mean, you're going through a nasty divorce, you're going through a brutal bankruptcy, you're going through trying to care for aging parents or wayward kids or whatever's going on in your life, right? Okay, so watch this. God wants to do this one thing that is in his timing and for your good. He wants to redeem those days. Mm. Now, the whole concept of redeeming looks like this. This is why, like, when Georgia got baptized a minute ago and she had the shirt that said redeemed, that's why. God has redeemed our days. Like when I said Georgia decided to burn the boats, literally the picture is I'm leaving my old life and I'm headed to a new life. I can't get back on the boat and sail away. I'm on this. I burned the boats. I'm going forward with Jesus, right? Yeah. But when our days are redeemed, he goes back to those times in which we're suffering so much.
Yeah.
And he redeems them and makes them whole. Mm. I've had seasons in my life where I thought, God, what in the world? I mean, just like Moses, like, what the heck, God? What is the deal here? And I look back and I can see now, when I look at experience in the past and what God's done, how he redeems those. The second thing that's going on here is a picture of Jesus in Moses. Mm. Now, this is super cool. Just hang with me here. This is kind of theological, but hang in there with me, right? So God sends Moses to bring people out of their affliction and to deal with sin personified in Pharaoh. Moses comes and does what God's telling him, but Moses, not being God like Jesus is, Moses is like, God, why aren't you delivering?
Yeah.
Right? Well, God says, be patient. I'm going to redeem these days.
Yeah.
I'm always faithful. I gave you this promise. Now, centuries later, God sends Jesus, who born of Mary, lives a sinless, perfect life, dies on the cross to pay the sin that we deserve, mm-hmm. buried, rose from the dead, and then hangs around 40 days with people, about 400 people, witnessing his eyewitness testimony, both historically and biblically. And then he gets on the Mount of Transfiguration. He leaves and goes to heaven. And today he's sitting beside God the Father praying for you. You say, well, I don't get that. How is that all God? God the Father sends God the Son. God the Son, in the person of Jesus, leaves us with God the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Now watch this. Moses delivered because God delivered. Mm. Jesus delivered because he is God. Mm. So you see what's going on here? You're seeing redemption happen. You're going to see this is a foreshadowing of what Jesus is going to do. So if you hear a scholar today that would say, well, the Old Testament doesn't really count. It's all about the New Testament. One, that's just a dumb thing to say, because we can find the story of Jesus in every one of the 66 books in the Bible, every one of them. And we see Jesus at work in the Exodus, so we want to know about that, right?
That's right.
Yeah. So when I look at that, I think to myself, remember the questions, live the questions, be patient in all of that. Mm. Because typically, like Bobby said, our questions outnumber the answers.
That's right.
And we have to turn to God.
What's interesting is, well, one, is we all have questions.
Yeah.
I mean, before the 9:15 gathering started, somebody came to me with the question. Two people after the 9:15 thing came to me with the question. We all have questions, right? We all have questions. So that's normal. We've got more questions than answers. In fact, Jeff Foxworthy has a fun bit about wives having more questions than husbands have answers.
I'm leaving that with you. I ain't touching that one.
Finally, I've learned my lesson. So I'm not going to go there today, but it's really
But
nice.
You did.
Sort of.
Okay.
Sort of.
I wouldn't have done it, but.
Yeah, I know. Yes, you would have.
That's a good point.
That's true. So it's okay. It's okay if you feel like you have more questions than answers. But here's a reminder, is when you look at how God responds to Moses, he doesn't give him a lot of answers.
That's right.
I think sometimes we think what we need is some head answer, mm-hmm. like something that makes sense in our minds. Most of the time, the questions that we have are actually expressed through the emotions that we have. And so if you've ever, in a relationship, if you've tried to answer an emotional question with fact-based answers, that just doesn't work, right? It doesn't work. And in a similar sense, in our spiritual lives, it doesn't work either. Instead of God giving a lot of answers, instead of God saying, well, let me tell you what I'm doing, instead, God's inviting Moses to sit and live with that question, to wait, because through waiting, you get to experience who God is as a person. So when Moses is asking, God, why, God's response is not, well, I'll tell you why. God's response is, let me tell you who I am.
Oh, that's good.
And a lot of times we rush the waiting. I heard somebody say this week, the only thing worse than waiting is wishing later that you had waited.
Ooh, that's good.
So often we like to push through, but it's in that waiting season that we get to know God for who he is, not just what he's done. And experience is the greatest communicator of God. And so if we can live with the questions, if we can wait with the questions, if we can listen with the questions, if we can do what Moses did and return to God with our questions, then those experiences will begin to paint this picture of who God is. And what God actually does is God begins to make powerful statements about what he will do.
Yeah.
Promises, fulfillments that he's going to make.
And so think about this. God doesn't give him a solution. God brings him back to him. Mm-hmm. So once again, this is the story of Jesus in the New Testament.
Yeah.
So our lives are broken and we need to be right with God. So what does Jesus do? He comes and connects with us and provides away. How? In who he is, not just what he does.
That's right.
Right. So God reminds us this is who we are, because like Bobby said, experience is the true communicator of God. I use this example. It seems silly, but I was probably about 24, Bobby.
Okay.
And I was sitting in my truck, I remember, and I had a big interview that I had to walk in. I mean, like hanging out with these folks, like they're smart people.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, let's face it, I don't really belong in the room. And I literally can remember sitting in the cab of my truck praying, God, I mean, I was fearful. It was a big deal for me at the time. But I remember walking out and having this sense, okay, God, that wasn't exactly how I imagined that going. But I look back now and it was one of the greatest gifts because God redeemed that moment.
That's That's cool.
You know, and I can look back and I can see the experience of that year after year of all of God's will, I wills. I will deliver you. I'll make it happen. I mean, this is why God's answer to Moses really is, listen, I am the Lord God. I'll free you from your oppression. I mean, he goes on, he says, I'll redeem you with a powerful arm, and I'll show you that I am the Lord your God. I am the Lord. I mean, what he does is he doesn't give him a solution, he gives him a person. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't need all the solutions if the person we have our faith in delivers all those. So the question is, who's your faith in, mm-hmm. right? And so, as for me, what I've learned is the one thing that is consistent in my life is that God will never leave me or forsake me. And when he gave me the gift of Jesus and I took him up on it, now I've got the Holy Spirit that's working in me. It gives me direction and confidence in my life, and I can feel. I still have junk in my life. I don't know anybody who doesn't have junk. But what I see day after day is the redemption of those days and the experience of God's goodness. So when God drops all of this I will on them, the most far-fetched concept that Moses and the people of Israel would have had is, I can't see any of this happening because I'm in the thick of it right now. And when you're in the thick of it, it is hard to see past the bluster of the storm blowing around you. But when you get in the eye of the storm, you can look straight above and you can see the hand of God at work. Mm-hmm. And you may not feel it or know it and understand the reason why until years later, because in the midst of that, as God redeems us, this is the most beautiful thing. God redeems us, and he says he does it for his glory. Here's the deep theological statement I want you to walk away with today. Every time God redeems something in your life for his glory, it is 100% for your good. So God doesn't just redeem for his glory. He redeems for his glory, and when that glory is shown, it's for your good. So God is always for you. He says later in Exodus, after that Moses has led the folks out of Egypt, he says in chapter 14, verse 4, he said, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings, just like Isaiah. Have patience. Wait on the Lord. And on those eagle's wings, I brought you not out of Egypt, I brought you to myself. Hmm. God is going to deliver you when you trust him and walk with him, but the first stop is to him, not to you. Hmm. God isn't in the business of driving you to you, he's in the business of driving you to him.
That's so good. Let's just make this a little interactive. How many of you, by show of hands, have ever prayed for some health need, right? Either for yourself or somebody else, and you saw God answer that prayer? Would you just hold your hands up real high? Keep your hands up for a second. How many of you have ever prayed for a financial need? Maybe it's for you, for somebody else, and you actually saw God answer that financial need.
Can I put two up for that one?
Yeah, absolutely. Put your hand in the air, or keep your hand in the air. How many of you have prayed for a spiritual need? Maybe a loved one, maybe somebody in your circle of influence, and God answered that prayer. Would you join us with your hands up? Just take a moment and look around the room for a second.
Yeah.
The answer to our question is not the mess. The answer is him.
Woo! It's him. Come on, that'll preach all day.
And so the reminder is, as God's saying to Moses, is, man, you got to remember who God is.
Right.
That God is faithful. That his name and his character are the ones that are actually on the line. When we wonder, well, what if God doesn't fulfill this thing? What if God doesn't do what he said he would do? Guess what? It's on him.
That's right.
If God does not do what he said he would do, it's his reputation. It's his character at stake. And when I remember that, I'm reminded that, of course, God's going to do what he said he would do. I heard Max Lucado say this, or read it in one of his books. He said, in the end, everything works out.
Right.
If it hasn't worked out yet, it's not the end. Mm. Right? So if we're still in that tension, if we're still in that moment, if we're in the middle of some question, there's a couple of responses. Some people, when they have a question that they're living in, they fight.
Right.
Some people do what we call flight. Some people freeze. We all have a typical response. Some people freeze. They're like, all right, if God isn't answering my prayer now, I'm just not going to do anything. That's not helpful. Some people, they flee from it, flight. They're like, I'm out of here. But there's something healthy about staying in the fight.
Yeah.
So today, if you feel stuck and you want to know, God, where you are, God, where are you in the middle of this? Remember that God is with you.
Yeah.
Remember that God is for you. Remember that you belong to him and that he will go with you, that he is the one that will deliver you. He is the one that will empower you. He's the one that will redeem you. He's the one that will rescue you. He is, as he says, the Lord God Almighty. And listen to this, there is nothing, there is absolutely nothing that our God cannot do. Yeah. He's God.
Yeah.
He's God.
That's good, man.
It's about him.
You got preaching there for a minute. That's good right there.
Trying to channel a little Pastor Chuck for a minute there, right?
Yeah. And folks are in the room saying, don't do it. Don't do it.
So today, if you're in the middle of some mess, God's going to use every single day. Not just Sundays, not just
whatever. Yeah, he's going to use the days that totally stunk. Mm-hmm. He's going to use the days that stink, and he's going to use the days that are yet stink.
Or as King James would say, stinketh.
Yeah, stinketh. So I guess
I don't know. I feel like I need some ADD medicine or something. I don't know.
I got nothing for stinketh.
All right.
But okay. So stinketh. All right. So.
Sorry, I had garlic butter last night.
You really didn't. It's powerful, bro. I'm telling you, you're killing me
so
up here.
Sorry.
I mean, one of the reasons I'm off my game a little bit is I feel like I got a garlic high up here. This is pitiful. So,
sorry about that.
So if God indeed does what he says he'll do, and to date, God has delivered every prophecy in Scripture, and he is at work. And if God is genuinely for you, and God will deliver you, and God will redeem you from every bad time and every good time, and utilize you for his glory, and you're good, then we really can see Jesus at work. Because this is the message that Jesus had. God didn't tell Moses, dude, go to a workshop, post on social media. God said, come back to me. Let me deal with this because I've got you. And I guess the thing that I think the message is, maybe you're in a season you're waiting right now. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're in the thick of it and you're waiting. Maybe you've got questions like, God, what in the world? Why? I just want you to know God's big enough for you to challenge all that. Don't stuff that and feel like, okay, I'm supposed to be terminally certain of all things. You're not. You're human. Question those and watch the experience that God delivers in your life and in those around you to see how he brings you through this. But see, the plan of God, even back here in Exodus, was that eventually God would stop trying to deliver people through human hands. He got directly involved in a tangible way. This is why you think about it. You got one God, three parts. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Like an apple. It takes the skin, takes meat, takes core, right? You got one apple, you got three parts. God is like that. So God the Father, creator and sustainer of the world, looks upon this totally unsustainable world that has already chosen to let sinful ways get into our life. Now watch this. This is the separation that we struggle with so much. God is perfect. We are not.
Yeah.
So if you're sitting here today watching online or in the room, and you say, but I am perfect, you really need to listen. Right? So that imperfection, God is so perfect that he doesn't let imperfection in his space. But here's the thing. God has never not loved you. Mm-hmm. Even when you are completely whacked out, God has always loved you. And in his great love for you, chose to send Jesus to be born of a Virgin Mary, live a sinless life, and then willfully choose to die on a cross. Now watch this. When he shed his blood and died on that cross, it was the punishment that you and I deserve because of our sinful ways. Our sin is what keeps us separated from God. And you say, well, Chuck, I don't understand sin. Sin is really this. Anytime you do something that God's not pleased with. All right, just think of it that way. We've all been there. I've been there. The Bible says all of us are there.
Yeah.
Right? The great thing is, watch this. God doesn't rank your mess ups. Mm-hmm. Right? Like God doesn't look at one and go, ooh, I know that guy, Bobby.
Yeah.
Be glad you're not that guy. Mm-hmm. Right? God doesn't do that. God loves you. There's nothing you can do to make him not love you.
Yeah.
But in that sin, he sent Jesus to die for you as the punishment that we deserve. And then Jesus is buried in an old borrowed tomb, which I just think is funny, borrowed tomb. And I mean, that's oxymoronic at best. And he walks out of that alive and hangs around those 40 days, and now he's sitting beside God the Father in heaven praying for you right now. Now, I just find that awesome. Like, God's praying for you right now. All right, where's the third part? This is so cool. When you choose to trust Jesus and follow him out of everything you're in the middle of, he gives you the gift of the third part. Like when preachers say, ask Jesus into your heart. Well, you're not taking a 6'1 man in your heart, right? I mean, they're not taking like long-haired Jewish dude and fitting him in. You're taking his gift of the Holy Spirit to live inside you. And that's the new direction you're on. Mm. So at that point, I mean, think how beautiful that is, right?
Yeah.
I mean, but then we get in this other section where God continues from now till you die, making us more like him. That's why we're all a little different on the way, right?
Like we're all on journey, all in process.
That's right, yeah. But we're going to eventually get to where we get in heaven. We are perfect with him. And Jesus will guide us there. This is why we can see Jesus in the Exodus. You're looking for freedom in your life? God says it's found in the person of Jesus. Mm. The Israelites needed freedom in their life. It was found in the person of Moses. Yeah. The difference between Jesus and Moses was this. Moses died, and he wasn't coming back. Mm. Jesus died, and he rose from the dead to live with you, to be with you now, to be with you tomorrow, and ride with you all the way to heaven.
So good.
So the question is this. Do you believe Jesus? The question is this. Do you accept that Jesus died for you, rose from the dead for you, and is praying for you right now in heaven? And if you do, all you've got to do, if you want this gift of Jesus, is to say, I trust that. But whatever Chuck just said, I'm in. Maybe you can't say all those words, but that's what I mean.
Yeah.
The Bible makes it simpler. The Bible says, if you call on the name of the Lord, then he saves you. Right? Preachers have all this other stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to walk an aisle. You don't have to join a church. All that's nothing. I mean, the deal is you want to trust Jesus. And today, if you want to settle that, kind of like George did, and just say, I'm in. Jesus, I don't even know what that means, but I'm in. I'm going to ask you to do something odd. All right? Every time I do this, I mean, one of these days I'm going to have one of those Sundays where nobody does this, but we're going to try it. All right? You up for it?
Let's do it.
All right. So today you want to settle. Maybe you thought you were Christian for 100 years, but it's like, no, Chuck, this all makes sense. I need to settle this. I need to burn the boats. Or maybe first time you've ever heard it, and like, I'm in. Maybe it's like, I just need to settle this in my heart. I need, like Georgia did, maybe I gave my life to Christ years ago, but I need to pick up my game, and I need to come home. Just stand up right now. Go ahead. Zach, you and the team going up there. Let's get something going. Just stand up. Bless you, girl. Somebody else. Who else? Who else is going to? All it takes is several. Once you get two or three, keep standing, sweetheart. Who else? Today you want to settle this in your heart. Who else? You mean in this room? Amen. Way to go, girl. I got two brave young women. I got a room full of sissies and men sitting out here. For you two young women, at the close of the service, will you just come talk to me? I'll be right up here. I want to pray with you. I talked to you before the service, didn't I? Welcome home. Hey. We're going to give you some praise today, all right?
Yeah.
Come on. Let's go. Come on, church. Let's go. Stand up. Let's do this. I'm proud of y'all. That's gutsy. I love it when people get gutsy about Jesus, man. That's awesome. Zach, what are we doing?
Come on, my soul.
Woo! Come on, church.
Don't you get shy on me.
Lift up your song.
Because you got a lion
inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Come on now.
Come on, my soul. Don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. You got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord.
Come on, church, give him some praise.
Come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. 'Cause you got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord.
Yes. So this Jesus we've talked about, we've sung about, and you've experienced, let this Jesus go before you and make a way and make your crooked path straight. Well, that's what he does. Let him go within you, bring you peace and joy, fulfillment and contentment, because he is always good and you are always loved. And man, listen, when days get difficult, and they will, let him come behind you and pick you up and carry you. Not around the problem, but through the stinking middle of it, only to set you down victoriously on your two feet and wipe away your tears. And he kisses you on the forehead and he wraps you up with those big loving arms, looks you in the eye and says, my child, remember that, my child. Say it with me, church. I love you. Oh man, I love y'all. God bless you. Go in peace.